and I won't be long right there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's read 1 through 4. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin in Christ to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The brother that preached here the other night or in the fellowship was preaching on the doctrines of the Bible, and he ended up with the doctrine of discipline in the church and many other things that he was talking about. And doctrine is also understood as teaching, the teachings of God. And so I want just a few minutes here. I want to preach on the doctrine of simplicity. The doctrine of simplicity. And the subtitle for it will be this: Barefooted Babies and Biscuits. Brother Harold B. Seitler said, God is a normal working God. It's not mysterious. And it's not even religious. Pure religion before the Lord undefiled is of his to follow us, isn't it? And when there's affliction, and keep thyself pure. Keep thou unspotted in the world. That's pure religion. And Paul is talking to this church of Corinth, and he said, let me be a fool.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be a fool. And he ought to study what a fool is. Take the Proverbs, and it'll teach you about fools and wise people. And you're going to have to get a hold of it. It's very simple. You talk about in the Proverbs, talk about the father and the son and the instructions to the son. It'll talk about a young man passing by the window of a harlot. It'll talk about the very essence of simple life. And God only judges that of your life about your sin. You know? It's not about whether or not you're the greatest educator and the intelligent one of the world, and everybody esteems you with your high knowledge. It's very simple. And it's very said this way. I got to stay in the pulpit seeing how we're live streaming, I reckon. Facebook and one. It's very simple. And let me just take the scriptures. What is Paul talking to them about? What is Paul talking to that church of Corinth about? And if I stay too long in it, if I take chapter 10, I'll show you some areas there of his boldness and his authority. You'll read that in chapter 10, verses 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with thee, that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. The mind thinking that's sitting there is that they think Paul was in his authority and his boldness, that he was walking in the flesh. You know?
Yeah.
In his authority, his authority in the church.
Right, yes, sir.
He's in the mind of touching, of leading the church and the authority of it. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Some say, but now because of the next verse, see, if I preach expositionally, if I preach line upon line there, you could be all day about it because you're expounding the scriptures. I studied today. I felt like pastoring on Wednesday night again. Back in my journey, I feel like more pastoring tonight. In the area of what I'm trying to talk to you about. But you, let me read on. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust himself that he is Christ, let him himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Now I'm gonna reprove you right here, and you might get mad at me. He ain't talking about astrology. Not talk about political matters.
Right.
He ain't talking about how much you apologetics know. He's talking about the simple things of life. He's talking about the simple things of life. You know? And your imagination, and as you think, so are you. And your imaginations are corrupt. What you think might not come from God, the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God. Your thoughts ought to be established by the Word of God through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And it no matter how much you have of the world's wisdom, you need the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is foolishness with man.
That's right. That's right.
It's foolishness with man. I don't need a sociologist. And I don't need a psychiatrist. All I need is that book and the Holy Ghost. And get alone with God. God, that Spirit will take the Word of God and create in you a right person.
Preach,
that
preach,
Bible will be able to make you think right. That Bible will be able to get your mind the way it ought to be. And it's going to teach you one thing. In the Dolly Hardy version, Bible is going to teach you earthly babies and bitches, praise God.
Amen.
That's a hole. That's marriage.
Yeah.
And that's buried children. Right. I don't care what this world says. I don't care what your neighbor says. God said, have children. Start talking about this way, brother. You know, I said the Bible said. I don't care what you think. I don't care what your doctor's about to think. I don't care what that woman's about to think. The Bible says, bear children.
Amen.
Does the Bible say that?
Amen.
Does the Bible say that?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
What's wrong? Try to talk with them.
Well, preacher, you know that. If we can't afford it.
Afford that big bass boat.
Uh-oh.
You afford that other big old car.
Yeah.
You can afford all them clothes. You can afford everything else.
It's a choice. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You can afford a lot of other things.
That's right.
Now I'm preaching you what this book says about it. You won't find out what your problem is in your home. You want to find out what's problem in life itself. And you want to know what life's all about. And you want to understand what it is to live for God. And you want to understand what God's talking about. God is talking about the home. You hear me? God is talking about marriage. He's talking about godly marriage. He's talking about holy marriage.
Amen. Amen.
He's talking about marriage in the church. Not in a gazebo or outside under a pine tree. The church. You say you're really hard. You're really speaking in a manner toward me. Well, you wouldn't see such rebellious ways. You say, how do you know it's rebel by what you do?
Yeah.
Right.
How do you know I'm rebel? By what you're doing, friend. Open your eyes. If you're doing it, you must be rebelling against it. And then by your conversation, what you speak most about, and how you teach and train your children. So what is the area of the doctrine of simplicity? It's simple. And you wouldn't help how many times kids are getting married, they're young, losing their virginity at 6 and 7 and 8 years old, and because of what mom and daddy didn't do it, because of what God had put before their life, and then also to put the joy of the Lord before them. To put that place before where you say you love God, then you ought to love God in the kitchen. You ought to love God in the house. You ought to run up and down the road talking about the Lord. You ought to be in your home every time. Amen. You say, it's simple. My daughter, Buffy, now I told her, I said, Buffy, I use you a lot. And her son, her brother, her husband, is a preacher who's got out of church. He don't go no more. He went the other day to something, and he went to that something. That's not according to the scriptures. He ought not have done that. But a lot of people got their little home churches. But a lot of things takes place in the homes that they will say, that preacher done, and he won't be working out of the local church. A lot of them start a lot of work, but they don't start it out of the church. You can start work because you started out of the church. You've got to be sent from the church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I don't care how many call you and say, come down, I've got a little fellowship going tonight.
That's right.
What church you belong to? Oh, man, this church thing. That's all you're talking about. They said, well, I got a church over in LA. You don't talk about that. That's not, pick that rabbit up on me, that's a rabbit. He's talking about his authority, and he said, what, you should look at a man on the outward appearance. If any man trust, I don't get the simplicity. And then he says, in the verse 7, you ought to think this again, as he is Christ, so are we Christ. You know, he's talking about those false ones there. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for destruction, I should not be ashamed. Most people say, I'm not here to destroy you. And they think, well, here, Brother Harvey, are you? I'm not here to destroy you. I'm not here for destruction. I'm here for edification. Edification Amen. Is building you up That's in right. the most holy faith. Building you up in the Word of God. Building you up in the Holy Faith. And if you're not learning or growing in the Word of God, you're going to stay a baby. You're going to stay in trouble.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
The pastor's about as good as you can get as far as giving you those scriptures. Wednesday night, Bible study. That ain't written no form. Come in every Wednesday night. It's supposed to be prayer meeting. I can preach on that too a little bit. The 5 prayers in James. There's 5 prayers over in James. That's going to run a rabbit out there, but I ain't going to do that. I'm going to stick with this right here. For his letters, say they, verse 10, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such as one think this, think that such as we are in word, by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. His letters are waiting.
Yes, sir, it's right.
He said, but when I come in presence, he said, such will I be in presence.
That's right.
That's that man, that preacher preaching out of there on church discipline in that fellowship. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. deeds. And those deeds
yes,
are done.
Sir.
Now, I've got very few people here right now. And you know why? The reason that you've got very few people in your church, they've never pursued that Bible in the way God said to be.
That's part of it. Yes, sir. I believe you're right.
They get saved, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if a person, you hear me, young, old, whatever you are, when you get born again, the Holy Ghost comes in you. You've been a desire for the Word of God.
Amen, preacher. That's right.
I said you've been a desire for the Word of God.
Right.
If you didn't get a desire for the Word of God and you got saved, you didn't get saved.
That's right, brother. I say amen.
Then nobody knows how old you are. You say that's very hard. That's very bold and very nice as Paul teaching. He said, you think you're one of authority. And you Corinthians says, he's out to destroy us. You know, that's my reputation. Here comes troublemaker. I'm not out to destroy nobody. I'm out to edify the body.
Amen, preacher.
Edify the body.
Yes, sir.
And if a man of God's preaching that book, light upon light, taking that Bible and interpreting it like it says, it's very powerful, very strong.
Amen.
And you know what happens when the Bible is preached that way? You'll find out how short you are with God.
Yes, sir.
You'll find out what you're not doing with God. You'll find out you're not doing what God said. And I'll tell you the biggest thing about people ain't doing what God said. They're not obeying that book, buddy.
Amen.
They're right. Not obeying that book because they don't ever read it. You say, Brother Hart, that's rough. No, that's right.
Right.
Just want to admit it. Won't tell God you're sorry. Won't say, God, I've been failing. I've never even got in the Bible. I've never even got to the Bible. I check myself out. Paul said, examine yourself. See the other face. This should be reprobates. Will not retain the word of God. You'll hear it, not do it. That's not retaining it.
Mm-hmm.
You say that's rough. That's Bible. And it's very simple. It's very simple. Life is simple. Where's all your heartaches at? The kids gone astray. Can't get along with my husband. All the things are chaos. Can't get nothing. All you turn around, all you do is have fights and fusses. You never can be satisfied. That's what that Bible's teaching against. Acting like babies. Never grow up. Never grow up. And to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior. To grow in the knowledge of this Bible. And it's simple. And if you exalt and exonerate your knowledge, it puffs you up. You get puffed up. But charity edifies. Knowledge puffeth up. But charity edifies. And if you think you know anything, you know nothing as you ought to know.
That's right, brother. That's right.
You know nothing as you ought to know, then the next verse is the greatest one. But if you love God, the same is known of you.
Love you. That's right.
If you know God, the same is known of you. You don't measure a person by the means of their practicality, their perfection. You see what they are, whether they're big or not, whether they're a person over. How do you measure a person in your church when you got one this high, this one, in their height and growth in the Lord? The measure of them to know whether or not that they're in God's work is their love for God.
Amen.
If they love God, if they love God, you can teach them, you can talk to them, you can give them that word, and they'll love God. God, they're going to do everything you say. Do you do everything you told them to do? No, you don't. What is it? But you perfect obedience. You perfect obedience to God. You perfect your life. You grow up and become as mature. Perfect your life. And he said, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. Then he said, be holy, for I am holy. You don't touch that a lot. Okay, you want to know your problems? You want to know where you're at? Are you obeying God's word? That's right. Are you obeying God's word? Well, what is it if I don't obey my daddy? You tell me 2 or 3 times after a while, I get a whipping. It's the same understanding with your Father in heaven. It's simple. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband. Children, obey your parents. Is that? Now, we need to get the Greek interpretation of that and see exactly what that word might mean there. You don't need no Greek interpretation. What you need to do is obey it.
Amen.
It ain't complicated. It ain't hard for you to understand. It ain't complicated. You say, are you ever got it? I've got to keep that place of me loving my wife. You've got to love your wife. You know, that's God. And God helps you to love your wife. Because of church. And then it's a lot of times, for she's got to submit to him. This thing, my goodness, brother, you really get into the mysteries of God. And get over to all those great things. And let's see how much you might know about everything. And they're like, barefooted babies and biscuits, amen.
Amen.
Mary, bird children. And cook biscuits. That means stay in your house. You belong in the home, woman.
Right.
Amen.
Don't you know I've got this career before me? I'm only this real estate agency. I thought God said for the man to provide for the house.
Right.
Well, you can't do it nowadays. You've got to have 2 people working to take care of that. Only reason you've got to have 2 workers is because of what you want.
Right.
Oh, come on.
You're right.
You don't want to live in content where you're at. When we had to start it, I don't know about you, John, when I started, we didn't have nothing. You know what I mean?
Amen.
You mean my wife? You know, but we took care of what we had, you know, and I did the work, you know, and she took care of the kitchen, and she's about as good a cook as they come to us, everybody. She'll make everyone say she's about a good cook to come. But she has one big problem. She keeps on coming to me. Said, why don't you be sweet? Why don't you be sweet? I said, there. You just ain't got a hold of me yet. Sweet as I'm me. Is that right? See me. Sweet as I'm me.
than you ever did.
You know? You say, is it being that mannerism and talking to you all like that? Isn't it good just to be able to get right down where people are in their lives? I mean, life is simple. The devil's going to whip you. They want to deceive you. And also, they're very hard places when you get into demonic territory. But that kid don't never even be around it, because you're going to raise that baby up away from that stuff. You're not going to put it in your head. You're not going to let them have any part of it. You're going to raise them up and know them how to love Jesus. You're going to teach them about the Lord. You're going to let them see the fire. You're going to bring them to church. They're going to say, Jesus loved me. This I know. They're going to be in Sunday school. And they're going to finally march to the choir, because in the choir is no gray-headed mama that's been teaching that other daughter how to sing. And she's singing the old songs of Zion. She's just singing the old songs, raising them heads up, that old gray hair. And some of them that sing till their hair fell out, because a long hair is a woman's glory. Amen. Ain't that right? A long hair is a glory. Amen. But now they sit them back up, pink hair, bald head. You wonder what's wrong? Quit worrying about Putin.
Right.
Quit worrying about all that stuff taking place up there. What do you do for them? Pray for them.
Right.
Yes, sir.
You pray for them in authority.
That's right. That's right.
You pray for them. Now, what about your tent? That's evangelism. You're out with that tent in evangelism. You're going to fight the devils of hell and come in LA. But when you come back in this house of God, you come in the house of God, you bring them back in, you behave yourself in the house of God. You used to tell them boys, you know, they say, hey boy, you better behave yourself. You hear old statement, you better behave yourself. This kid out there doesn't know what you mean when you say behave yourself.
Right.
You don't say that properly. You need to say he's narcissistic. What? I have to look the words up all the time. He is this. I wonder where you get those stinking words. And then my daughter said the other day, she said stinking to this one girl. She said, y'all not cuss like that. Stinking is cussing. But you can say GD and DAU. They don't think GD is cussing nowadays. Or
well, that's right. That's right.
But they say stinking is cussing. Who's messed up?
Amen.
The only reason they're messed up is that's what the word of God chose it. You wouldn't know it's wrong unless you didn't have a book. That's what I'll take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. The Bible tells you why it's right and wrong. The Bible tells you what's good and bad. The Bible tells you how to have a life. The Bible tells you about what's needed. The Bible tells you about children. The Bible tells you about a home. The Bible tells you about working. The Bible tells you about mission. The Bible tells you all about how you ought to live. And it's not complicated. The doctrine of simplicity. We'll get these preachers as the next verses, brother, and I'll try to quit, because I preached those three chapters, 10, 11, and 12, go together.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
They go together, buddy.
Yes, sir, they do.
Look here. I've got to get them 12 through 18. For we dare not make ourselves of the number of the fellowship. We need not compare ourselves when it's our turn to preach. We need not commend ourselves. No. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise.
That's right.
You comparing each other in these stinking fellowship, commending each other and all that area, it's not wise. It's not wise to compare yourself with everyone. What do you do? But we will not boast of things without our measure, but be according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. We stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. And though we reached out unto you, for we have come as far as to you as preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to all our rule abundantly. We have a measure of rule that God has given you. There's a measure of rule in wherever it's at. There's a measure of you in the rule that God has given you. There's a measure of that rule. And quit comparing yourself one with another. Quit comparing. I'm talking to preachers now. Quit comparing with each other. It's not good to compare. Well, what do you need? What do you need in your ministry? What do you need as a man of God? Let me finish the reading. I'll get to the text and I'll quit. But we preach to God not beyond you, but to things another man's time of things, line of things, make ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Amen.
Amen.
When God commendates you, when God commends your ministry, when God commends what you're doing, yeah, I'm not looking for the comparison or the call being to credit. That don't mean we do anything, but we can't do nothing without God's commendation on it. God commended you. God commended you. God commended your work. God puts his hand. God says, I commend the work at Victory Baptist Church. I commend it. Then you might send a letter out to some of the church people that's come to another man, church, and you write a letter of commendation.
Yes, sir.
You know many churches now that you've got a letter of commendation for people going to another church?
It don't mean nothing no more. Don't mean a thing.
You know, you're awful hard, Brother Harvey. I mean, I'm not hard. I'm just telling you what it's all about. You say, you don't mind discussing that, but no, you know what the problem is with guilt. And then when you get old, they get in the choir and they start singing, and you'll be, is my mom, but I'll, when we get to sing in the choir, we just sing in the choir. And she'll sit there, that's my baby, that's my baby, that's my baby, that's my baby. And you go off the office spots and get in the church over one of mama's babies. That's my baby, that's your baby, and they get along, and you get in the office spots. And then babies, no matter what, big time. That's her baby, buddy. That's my baby, you know. It's simple. It's simple. Mary,
she got to have a big career. I'd get real bugger right here right now. Oh, she's got. You take the K off of it. You got a career K off. That's all we got nowadays. Running around like a running around hacker, body showing out. Have a thing in the world, dressed like the world, look like the world, talk like the world, go on and everything. All you hear out of them is nothing but the world. They start talking to them, all you hear from their mouth, and all you see in their dress, and the way they dress like the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You say that's none of your business. That's the problem. What part of that don't you understand? It ain't a problem with people not understanding. It's a problem doing what it says. It ain't a problem with your children not knowing what to do. They know what you do if you make it clear and plain. And you make it with love in your heart. You say, do you mean not your preacher? I'm preaching right now. I ain't this one with my children. If I sit with my children, I don't scream and holler at them like I am with you. I shouldn't be doing that way, did I? But I sit down with my kids. They know what Pop's saying. But I don't preach to them. And I don't preach to the lost when I get out there and start bringing somebody to the Lord. I tell them about the love of Jesus that died for their sins. I give them the gospel. What's wrong with them? Tattooed up, falling apart. Don't have a mom and daddy. Homeless without God. Have no way around. Can't even find a place to stay. They don't want to go home because of the way mom and daddy is at home. They don't even know who their mom and daddy is. Then you crowd on these streets right now. This is what all people are. Have you ever seen such a society of people that are walking around? Like that, you know, I never seen such a feeble generation walking around out like they're homeless, feeble. It was that man without a boy. They were strong. They didn't have a whole lot, but they walked around, no mamas and daddies. They didn't have no doctors. They didn't have all that medicine. All they had was God on their knee, calling out to God, putting food on the table, making you go out and work, and just a common life, a common living. And mom, she knew about, and I say, the doctrine of simplicity.
I got back to the text. I don't want to go over in Jeremiah because I go over there to a word that's called Brutus. Jeremiah 10:8, Jeremiah 10:14, Jeremiah 10:21, that word brutish, it means irrational, foolish, unreasonable, worthless, little intelligence, sensibility, lack of understanding, unfeeling, ignorant. He said, there'll be a brutish generation.
That's kind of the word. He says, stupid. That word, stupid.
How do you measure a person being stupid? By the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The only truth and the only right and the only way is that book. You say, the only way is that book.
That's right.
And you won't apply yourself. Hold on. There's some few watching on the live stream. You won't apply yourself to that book. You don't apply it. You don't go to church. You got a live stream. You know you're able to go. You like your little live stream preacher. And I worship the Lord on my couch. And you're able to go to church. Now when you get sick and you can't go to church, it seems rightly okay. Most of them are not using it rightly. You got it right.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Sit there with the pajamas on, kick back, have a popcorn, and they're like, oh, whatever, sit there watching it. Boy, that was a beautiful, wonderful message. You know, I was watching you tonight. Man, you was really having a good preaching. Well, where were you at? person together in one.
Right.
Just send your tithes in through it. Just park her down, send your tithes in. Bring them. The collection of the saints on the first day of the week. You bring them to church on Sunday.
That's it, brother.
The doctrine of simplicity.
Yeah.
But the doctrine of simplicity.
You ought to teach our preachers. He was some of the greatest preachers I ever saw. I mean, my, all he knows. I don't care how much you know. I want to know how much you care.
You really care about all your friends that don't know Jesus? And you say, daughter, I use my daughter all the time because she's a proof of what I'm preaching. She got married, got saved at 16 years old. Them school teachers had a track sitting in their desk. Every kid down through that high school, there's a public school. She had a track in everybody's head. And before that, before that, she had done one, two, or three to the Lord. And she won this black boy to the Lord. She come home from school that day. She said, "Dad, this black boy got saved. What am I going to do with him?" I said, "Bring him to church."
Amen. That'll work.
He come to church. Did you preach on black and white and black life matters and everything else? No, my goodness gracious.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
You bring him into church. You love him in the Lord.
Right.
Teach him that book.
Amen.
Let that book correct his life.
Right.
Let that book tell him where he needs to be.
Right.
We don't need no psychiatrist. We don't need no politician. We don't need somebody up there, and you're going to vote in to be able to tell you what Black Lives Matter is about. Black Lives Matter, what you need is get in your church, listen to your preacher. He's going to sound you out of doctrine. He's going to teach you how to be a Christian. He's going to teach you how to be salt and the earth. He's going to teach you how to be a light of the world. He's going to teach you there's a power in God and that our victory. They got families. They got homes. They got a life. They got this preacher that comes by all the town and looks at him and says, you ain't picked that rabbit up one time. I've been over to Delaware. It's that simple. Just live right. Obey the word. It's not complicated. And the big things in your life is your home, your family, the husband, the wife, the children. That's why all the problems, that's where you hurt, that's where you ache. And it's what the church all about. Firewood, babies, and biscuits. Simple. Jessica plays for the Christian school. She teaches there now. She's been in it. She plays for the youth group and everything else. And she's got three boys, the sons of Zuri. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, boy.
ACL, Abishai, and Joy.
Oh, well, that's right. Yeah, so, yeah, watch out.
You know what Zuri means? Wounded.
Who?
Zuri one was wounded. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there. She come out there one day,
no shoes on. Had one of the boys on her hip, babies. You come over Saturday and I'll fix you a biscuit. I'm out shouting, brother. I'm out shouting.
That's all.
You come on over to the house, I'll fix you a biscuit, Pop. And she can cook. Good man. Well, she's learning how to cook. And she's going to be pretty good with you. How you going to cook? Cook is cook.
Right.
You got to cook, you're going to learn how to cook.
Right.
You're too busy doing these things. You're too busy talking to the little girl over there or somebody else that don't want to do what they need to do. You know? I need to quit. But I'm relating to you. Hey, I don't treat other church like I treat you. I don't get this person on me. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. You just might as well take it. I don't mean to talk about him. He might be watching. God just raised him up.
How many do we know, Brother John, started? They're out now. Unfulfilled potential was preaching last night. Unfulfilled potential. Many of them. Because they missed out on barefoot babies and biscuits. The doctrine for your theological people, the doctrine of simplicity. Paul said, I'm a fool. Called himself a fool. I speak as a foolish one because I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Mm-hmm. I have espoused you, the husband, right? That I might present you a chaste virgin. You know? And if you don't enjoy
living that godly life, get around with God, get to join the Lord or something. That ain't nothing but a misery to you. I know what I'm going to tell you. You ain't even counting reds.
I give up.
You just give up. I knew I'd get her before it's over. Everybody watching. Taking his place as a father, you know, and you know he's not in sin, but he got knocked down. So Bucky raised them boys, you know, most of the time when they was in high school. And she'd come in there and they'd be laying in bed, they'd be over there. Glory, 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 give God the glory, 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 glory.
Quit being anxious over the simple things of living for God. Enjoy it. And love life and see good days. Enjoy God. Enjoy your life. Enjoy the children. Enjoy your church. Enjoy it. And there's a good spirit between y'all. I come in, y'all having a time with each other. You know what I mean? I mean,
we're talking and having a good time, you know.
Yeah.
Just talking to each other.
Right.
And that's an offspring of your house now, you know. But sometimes you come in and you won't be in too good shape, you know, because you just got to fight with them, you know what I mean? And, you know, and you come in the house there and you find out where the whole gang in here got to fight too when they come here and the whole church is here, right? You know what I mean? Come in there, ain't all nobody
preaching this to you. I'm trying to get a hold of this young generation. It's miserable for them to even live for God. There's something wrong, kids. There's something wrong, brother. That you've got to do God's work in a down mouth, dedicated, I got to do that. And I just let you sing songs or you go to the prayer room and all you know, I got to go pray. I don't want to pray anyway. That's what you've got a problem. You don't want to pray with your children. You don't want to sit down at the table and pray. You won't go out and pray with each other. You won't get out when you go out and get food. You're ashamed to pray. You know, it's not that I get ashamed to pray. It's when I get out there and start praying, they want me to get quiet because I make sure everybody hears it. You know what I mean? I start praying, they make sure everybody hears me. And those kids, that Buffy and Keith and all them, they used to go in there when they're just teenagers. They had just got married and everything else. They were young. They'd go in there and they'd sit down and start to pray. Keith wouldn't pray until he read some scripture. He'd stand up on the table, read some Bible scripture, and then they'd pray. Amen. It ain't changed when you budge. I ain't got many. Let me get you three more. We got you three, so y'all got to take it. I'm preaching to the choir. Go ahead and get it, all right? This is everything here. Amen. It ain't no different. Ain't no different. God ain't no different. God ain't no different. Mom and Daddy. God ain't no different. God ain't no different, Mom and Daddy. God ain't no different. He's still the same right now as he was from the beginning. He ain't changed. It's just people won't do what he says.
Right.
You hear it for our destruction. No, I'm here for the education. I'm not overriding the authority of the preacher. The grace of God, probably, you know, I'm going to head on back if the Lord will. And it's very hard back at home. We got death on every door. I've got my sister dying, the other church dying, people dying, can't even. You even having a meeting, something, Brother John, just to have a meeting. They won't even have meetings. You said it's very trying in these days. You better believe it is. But God ain't less than thing, you know. Do you get alone with God in the mornings? Do you talk to God before you lay down the bed? Do you get right next to the bed and say, "Good night, Lord. I love you, Lord. Good night. If I wake up, you'll wake me up." Do you get up in the morning and the first thing on your heart is to talk to God? The first thing in the morning is to talk to God. Whether it's going to work in your truck, whether it's working it up, when you get up to start that day, you want to talk to God. What are you going to tell him? You're just going to say, "Good morning, Lord."
Amen.
It's simple, John. So I believe that the area that God has used you for me on this trip was that fellowship. It was ordained to God. And what my attorney is from on. Do you lose any time with this church? No, I'll give him about 3 months and I'll call him. I said, "Hey, God, I gave you at least 2 months off. I ain't called you up and started like this." I call him up, "Man, here we go, God. I ain't talked to you about a month." "Oh, we have a good time now. I mean, that's, it's good. I'm giving you a break for a month." You know? And,
I'm going to give you some of their phone numbers. You can call.
You'll be calling them?
Yeah, I'll let you call. So, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Who are you going to give it to, man? Which one's going to get it? Hey. You better start praying, he'll give you your
love. Quit your anxieties. Rest in the Lord. Just rest in the Lord.
something that you can't do. Enjoy. What God wants me, I like it. You know? He wants me to sing. He wants me to whatever God. And it won't be nothing complicated. He ain't going to ask you to go up there and do some kind of feat, jump off a pinnacle. That's what he wanted Jesus to do. Remember? He ain't going to say, you know, spongy things. You ever see these crazy people and all these feats they do? You know, they're demonic. And the world elevates them before your people, before you and your kids. They call them icons. The greater, nothing but sodomites, nothing but naked girls out there with their athletic outfits and doing some kind of calisthenics and everything else. And do not take one moment, your kids don't think one moment, that girl is naked. My last grandson played football. They all played football. And he went as good as Brian and all that stuff. Look, he called me and said, Dad, would you go over and watch him play tonight? Nobody will watch Isaac play. I said, sure, brother. We went over and we sat in the stands. And I didn't say anything about God. They're all sitting behind there listening, you know, while they're listening, I'm putting it out. But she had that. We're just talking about this for you. She's taking it all in. And here comes the majorette down through that. Here comes that majorette down there, man. You know, here comes that majorette. She said, Dad, she's real good. And I'm looking at her. She practices every Saturday, all the time. She goes to church, Dad. She's naked. Oh. She's naked, but she's naked. Oh, say amen right there. Now, you hear me? Watching football games and not the game or playing the game. Naked majorettes, naked church, naked people singing Amazing Grace, naked, talk, singing a song about God. Naked, 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 naked. Come to that garden, they hid from him, right? The first thing, why did you hide? We were naked. Right. Who told you you were naked?
That's right.
Do you know what that majorette became? She's a doctor right now, and she married Zach. That's Zach's wife.
What about that?
She's a preacher's wife now. Simple. Simple. The doctrine of simplicity. Subtitled, Barefooted Babies and Biscuits. If you don't know, if you want to see whether or not I know my Bible, come and we'll sit down and I'll show you where I know my Bible. Thank you for letting me come. This ain't over. You're going to get another. He's going to give me one of your old numbers. You better pray real hard who it is he don't let me have. You know. It's probably going to be you, Sarah. You're the one. That's going to be you. Right? You know he's going to do it to you. Because he knows that you don't care. I know what I mean. He knows that you'll come back, buddy. She knows she'll like it. Sarah'll say, yeah, Brother Harvey, yeah. I like it, man.
Amen.
Well, you're about to get used to it. I ain't changing, bless God. Don't you think I'm going to change? I'm going to stay. Don't get them kids in such a manner. Tell them just live for God. Son, just, it's not complicated. You're just going to have a problem some girl finding you. You're supposed to find her.
Are you married? Close? She's watching on live stream right now. You know. I'll leave you alone for right now. I'm going to say it one more time. And the reason I do, the reason I keep saying it, Brother John, even at home, kids are in shit bad shape, Doc. They're nerve-wracking, they're nervous, they're confused, they don't see no future, they don't see nothing out there, nothing but destruction, disaster, dividing, wars, diseases, death, all turn all the way around. So what, brother, marry, bear children, and go to the kids and make a home. Take your home and bring it to church.
Amen.
And all the homes make up the church.
Amen.
And then that's where you got to stay one together. If you pray together, you'll stay together.
That's right.
So, amen. Let me pray and, oh man, 9 o'clock. Well, that don't get you off. You got to be back tonight for the preacher, you know. And I guarantee he'll be. I'm gonna quit. You say amen, and he don't load you up with the word of God. You gotta say he puts the word of God out. Don't you say amen right there? He puts that book out.
That's right.
So let me pray. God, we don't know a matter of our days to come. And we don't know what's ahead with this church. And we know that they're in a state of a many of them. Than those that we are going to go to now or as you have before us. Even so that in my own family, my son, my brother, close to death after being preaching all these years. Then my other sister with her husband that's died that was a preacher. And then my grandkids and my children as we pray every day. And they got to face life every day. And I pray I don't know how to do it no more, Lord. I don't know if I ever did. But even myself and Brother John, Lord, the great memories we had of those beginning days. Would you not do it again here with John in this church? Would you not do it again in these last days? And with all of our heart, and these that are sitting here, we want to give ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable before God as our reasonable service. And we do that tonight. And in the morning, we'll jump in the grave and die and resurrect to the day through the Spirit of God. Thank you for this time together with them and meeting Brother Samuel and his burden to the work. And bless this evening. Many that are out sick or might be watching tonight. And then, Lord, surely those that are sick that could not make it, I'm thankful for this to be able to see and listen. But without a doubt, God, those pews need to be filled up in the house of God. They've got to do everything they can to get back to the church house. To sit in a pew and let the preacher and the people worship together. And if you'll do that, that's revive the church, God. Recover it. And I pray that all that we've done this last 2 or 3 days, especially last night, God, with the burden to preach. So I praise you for it. I don't know what's ahead. I don't have no promise of tomorrow, Lord. I don't have no promise. So tonight I submit to thee and I honor you and I love you. And I love these people and I love John for all these years. Guide us and direct us and all them that's and all these here. It's not going to get easier, Lord. It's not going to get easier. We need to get stronger. Be it strong in the power of my might. Be strong in the Lord. You know. So thank you for time tonight. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.